Welcome back to the Grandstand. Pushan here in Paris, and we got F. Knowles in New York. How you doing, man?
Hello. Wow, you called yourself Pushan.
Yeah, you know, it would be strange if I called myself P. Money.
You've called yourself P. Money in previous episodes.
Yeah, that's probably why I feel a little self-conscious about it. So yeah, Pushan or P Money, I must have referred myself as that a few times, but it's mostly a nickname that was given to me. We are the Grandstand, and this is our season 5. And if you've been following us for a while, we've been doing a lot of F1 banter, but this week we wanted to launch a new series. For those of you who've been getting into F1 recently, we wanted to give you a bit of a starter kit, if you will. So we're calling this the Formula One Essentials series, and this is episode 1. And what are we talking about today, Knowles?
we're giving everybody a little bit of either a little lesson or refresher on quite frankly what the fuck F1 is. That's pretty much it. There's a lot of new fans out there.
That's right.
And I think it's important to know the basics, the essentials of what Formula One is. I mean, I get a lot of questions from people who ask me, you know, why things are certain ways, mm-hmm. you know, about drivers, about teams. You know, why does Haas exist? You know, those sort of things. So, I didn't mean for that to be a slag at Haas, by the way.
Not existentially, how did everything happen?
How do they come into existence? Why is there only one American team in Formula One? Why is there only one American driver? There's a lot of those questions that I think are going around, and I think it's important to have that conversation. So that's pretty much what this is today.
Let's do it. So for those of you who haven't heard our sweet intro, get ready for this. We're going to roll this and get into what is F1.
Roll it.
A question for all of you except Romain Grosjean.
To whom it may concern, fuck you.
More ladies in the paddock?
Yeah, more paddock access to some women. There's too many dudes.
I don't really have a lot to comment on that, except that he was being a pussy.
Yo, do you think just quickly, do you think Max would be allowed, like, I mean, allowed to say it, but that I think he was being a pussy comment? Like, I feel like, imagine if he made that comment now as a 2-time world champion.
Yeah, it wouldn't fly. It wouldn't be, it would be more dramatic and more controversial, especially since, you know, F1 since then has, like, blown up in the US. I don't think the American fans would be so happy to hear it. I'd say.
I don't know, dude. I feel like the English are like the ones who would have their panties in a bunch.
Oh yeah. Well, they usually do. Yes. Speaking of the US, man, F1 is finally blowing up in the States, largely thanks to Drive to Survive. Let's be real. We've all watched it. It's entertaining. It's getting loads of people into the sport. But F1's been trying to get into the US market for a long time. There have been races and even at Indianapolis using part of the track, and they haven't really quite made it. But now it seems like F1's finally made it. There's going to be 3 races in the United States in 2023. I had a question for you. How did you get into F1? What was your first memory of it?
I would say my first memory of Formula One was probably, I would say, the 97 season. When Villeneuve won.
Damn, like that's a good vintage.
Yeah. Well, funny enough, my dad had gotten me, because Villeneuve had won the Indy 500 2 years prior, and my dad had gotten me this like this trophy, this fake trophy from Indianapolis Motor Speedway that, you know, had a car like Jacques Villeneuve's card in it, you know, Indy 500 winner, and I could never say his name right. I was like Vile Knife or something. I don't know. I can't even remember back in the day. But definitely butchering his last name. And little did I know that his dad had been a prolific, you know, F1 driver and unfortunately passed away much sooner than we all wanted or wanted. much sooner than expected is what I meant to say.
He left too soon.
Yeah, he left too soon. Jesus.
Oh, cool. Anyway. 97. Yeah, that was the year. That was the year Schumacher was disqualified for driving into Villeneuve at Nürburgring. You know what my first memory was? My first memory of F1 was a little bit earlier, but I wasn't following the sport because I was obviously very young at the time. But, you know, in Europe, it's mostly European sport for the longest time. And every Sunday there'd be F1 and my brother would watch it, my older brother. And there was a big crash and it took a while for them to clear the track. And later I realized that it was Imola 94. And my brother said like, okay, don't look at this. It's like, it's getting too crazy here. So my first memory was that, but I really started getting to it. I think like 95, 96 started watching and I was like, oh, look at that red car. It's awesome. And that's how I became a Ferrari fan. And that's why it hurts every single day, every single race. When I see Ferrari do poorly these days.
Yeah, man, it's hard out there for you tifosi.
Yep, it is. But you know what? It's all about cycles, just like every other sport. We shall see. So Formula One, what is Formula One? So we can quickly state that it falls under the umbrella of the FIA, which you'll hear us talk a lot about. You'll hear us rant about it a lot because the FIA seems to make a lot of inconsistent decisions, and they're kind of like the referee, the empire, right? Of Formula One. Umpire.
Like, what is this, Star Wars? No, they're definitely the referees, sometimes too much so.
Right. You'll hear us criticizing that.
Oh man, the rants that I'll take and go on about the FIA. I'm still salty about a specific moment that happened in 2021. But the FIA, the governing body, they oversee the sport. They also oversee a lot of other motorsport categories, not just Formula One, and open wheel. But they are the global governing body of motorsport.
Yes, governing body. That was the word I was looking for, not umpire. and within those open wheel single seater formulas, it's a lot of words thrown out there. Basically means that the wheels are not protected like your road car, obviously, and there's only one person that can sit in the car, so you can't have a passenger in these cars.
Monocoque.
Yeah, and formula kind of just refers to the fact that each series is called a formula because it has a specific rule set that, you know, teams abide by, right? So Formula One, if you think about it, Indy is also a formula, but it's just called Indy, I guess. And Indy is governed by the FIA, correct?
It is, yeah. I believe IndyCar is governed by, yes, the FIA. I mean, the FIA is the general governing body, but it does, I think, self-regulates.
So F1 is considered the pinnacle of single-seater racing. I mean, you know, we're not going to get into the fact that maybe some people prefer other series, but it is the highest level of motorsport, probably the most advanced series technologically, the best engineers, and arguably the best drivers, which sometimes is a bit debatable because some one or two drivers will be there maybe through funding or sponsorship. And because F1, let's face it, is the most expensive sport to get into. It's not like you can one day say like, oh, let me become an F1 driver. It's a process that takes a lot of time, which we'll explain on a future episode. But it's very expensive, you know, a lot of money. And sometimes certain drivers are there not purely based on their skill, but you can't just have anyone in there.
Yeah, as we saw with the one Nikita Mazepin. Last season, the season before? Yeah, season
yeah, before. 2021 was his last season. I mean, and you know, and obviously he was there because of the money, but he also, you have to have a certain level of skill, because if you put one of us in an F1 car, we are going to spin out of the pits and probably break the rear wing. A race in Formula One is called a Grand Prix. So there's a lot of French influence here. The FIA is also based here in Paris. It's the Fédération Internationale de l'Automobile. Fédération Internationale de l'Automobile. Yes, I'm the French one.
Nice. You had to drop that accent, drop that French accent.
And the Grand Prix or Grand Prix is basically just means the great prize. That was what you know, races were called in the early 20th century when motorsport races started becoming a thing.
I want to go back to something just quickly. The best 20 drivers in the world. I would say yes. Formula One is the tip of the spear. It's the best. I would say that arguably the best drivers in the world, but I would say there's also a lot of politics that are involved with the sport that that don't necessarily bring up the best drivers in the world into the series. I'd say, you know, and we don't have to get into it too much, but there have been a lot of great drivers who have been on. Who have been on the course to be in Formula One, and for political reasons or monetary reasons, they sadly didn't make it. And that, I think, is one of the, you know, that's one of the bigger things with motorsport, is that motorsport in general, but Formula One, I would say, probably you've got 20 drivers, right? 20 drivers.
Yeah, it's very limited.
Out of thousands in the world, I don't know if it would be the tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of car drivers in the world, but probably tens of thousands. Formula One is the most difficult series to get into if you're a driver.
Yeah, and it's the elite. So obviously, yeah, you know, give or take maybe one or two drivers, these are the best drivers in the world, and there's always a few that kind of gravitate around Formula One.
Yeah.
And a lot of the drivers that, you know, are considered the best in their fields, if they are in single seater racing, their ultimate goal, like growing up since they were, you know, maybe three or four, is to get into Formula One, right? So it is, you know, every driver's goal. You know, it's like every basketball player wants to play in the NBA. They don't want to play in any other league, right? It's the highest level. It's where you get, you know, the biggest prizes. And winning the world championship in F1 is the best thing you could do as a driver.
Yeah, I mean, there's that. Winning the Formula One championship, there's obviously the Triple Crown, which is another kind of big feat that you can accomplish as a race car driver, which is winning the Monaco Grand Prix, the Indianapolis 500, and the 24 Hours of Le Mans.
But, right. It's very rare feat to do it, because not a lot of drivers will go and compete in multiple categories.
Right.
As they used to back in the day. You know, F1 cars are the fastest, and it's mostly because, you know, of the regulations they have, and because also they have the fastest cornering speeds, which means they have the most grip in corners. And that's largely due to this thing called aerodynamic downforce, which is the opposite of lift. So when you take a plane, you know, the plane lifts off. The car here, F1, is kind of stuck to the ground, so much so that drivers from other series, even Indy, when they get into F1, they're shocked at how fast they can go into certain corners. So yeah. It's just that the regulations, the sheer amount of like technical knowledge that goes into developing cars, they throw so much money at it. They try to get the best engineers, and it never stops, right? So it just keeps getting better and better and better. And the gains are so marginal, but they make a huge difference at the end of the day.
Well, I think it's interesting too, because if you look at Formula One versus other open wheel series, Formula One itself, I think, is now the only open wheel series where each team is responsible for the design of their chassis. All the other IndyCar, Super Formula, even the Junior Formulas, Formula 2, Formula 3, they're all spec series where each team is using the same chassis as a car. And that also increases the cost that is associated with building these cars. I mean, I think an IndyCar is worth something between, like, depending on the team, something between like $3 to $5 million. Whereas an F1 car can go, I mean, I think I once heard a stat that the Mercedes car costs something like $40 to $50 million. Just the sheer value of the car, which is nuts. Like, so that just goes to show that, like, the development that goes into these beasts, mm-hmm. is unprecedented in any other part of motorsport.
Oh yeah. And, you know, it could sound like a very wasteful thing, but, you know, also F1, I mean, it is a sport, it is an entertainment, but a lot of technology that goes into F1 makes its way into our road cars. And, like, one of the biggest examples is ABS, like, so that you don't lock up your brakes when you slam the brakes when you have to make a red light or something. So there are good things that come out of it because they're pushing the boundaries. They're working a lot on, you know, recovery of electrical energy. F1 has a 1.6 liter turbo hybrid, which is a fancy word for saying, you know, there is still some fossil fuel in it, but it's also, there is a big electrical component. So it's the most efficient engine in the world. And their regulations, like, moving forward, is getting more and more efficient. So some people kind of miss that loud screaming V12s that they had in the 70s, the V10s, even the V8. So now we're at a V6, but, you know, we also have F1 is evolving with its time and, you know, not being too wasteful. Also, one of their goals is to be carbon neutral. But before I get too much into that, the goal here is to kind of give you the big picture of F1 on this episode. Let's talk about...
You're going to tell me real quick you don't miss the V10s?
I said some people do, and I consider myself one of those some people for sure. The first time I saw a race, it was in 2002, and it was V10s. And if you didn't wear any earplugs, you couldn't hear for like the next 3 days. That's how loud it was. It was louder than a fighter jet.
I love that.
That's a stat. I'm stat boy, and I have to bring that in. It was louder. It was like 130 decibels.
I love it. No, loud race cars are one of the most incredible things you can experience in life, in person. TV just does not. Watching TV or races on TV just does not do it justice.
Yeah. All right. So tell us a little bit about the players. Let's talk about the players now. We have 10 teams that each have two drivers in their lineup. They have to have two drivers. No team is allowed to just go racing with one, and they can't add drivers, so that there's two drivers.
Hasn't always historically been that way, but in this era of Formula One, it's been 10 drivers or 10 teams, two drivers for 20 cars on the grid.
Yes. And we have some we call them constructors, because there is a driver's championship and a constructor's championship. So constructors is the fancy word for team. And some of these teams have been there from the origin of F1, which was back in 1950. And that is Ferrari, the most successful team in F1's history. I had to throw that in there as well.
Yeah, all right.
And, you know, over the years, there's been a lot of constructors that went out of F1, came back. There's been the private teams that got in. And some of the most popular teams also include McLaren, which dominated part of the 80s, as well as Williams, that was very, very successful back in the 80s and even into the 90s. And they're still in F1. F1 is changing, but some of these teams, you know, are still there. Mercedes is an example of a team that existed, you know, in the early part of the F1 championship in the 50s, and they kind of went out of F1 and came back in a bit of a different way. They bought a team and kind of reestablished itself. And I think a few other teams on the grid have done the same, like Aston Martin bought another team. Alfa Romeo is back as well.
Yeah. Mercedes. I mean, McLaren and Ferrari are the two teams that have been in the sport the longest, most consistently. I think that's the, or consecutively is the right word. So Ferrari is the, you know, has been in the sport since it began. McLaren, in the 60s under Bruce McLaren. And then Mercedes, you know, had their period of domination back in the 50s, but then, you know, came back under under the auspices of what was previously Braun GP. So yeah, it changes. The ebbs and flows of Formula One are kind of crazy. Like Alpine was Renault, was Benetton, was, you know, those are Haas was at one point Marussia. AlphaTauri was I always forget what AlphaTauri
Minardi.
Minardi,
which is the wow. team that launched Mark Webber and Fernando Alonso right. back in the day.
Yep. And I mean, Williams has been, I would say, so it's Ferrari, McLaren and Williams have been over the course of the last 40 years the teams that have not really changed hands or changed names. Or Williams recently did change hands, but they kept the name.
Yeah. They've been able to change ownership, but the name has still been there and it's kind of building up the brand, right? So to give you a quick, you know, summary of the team. So we have Ferrari with their drivers, Charles Leclerc and Carlos Sainz, McLaren with Lando Norris and Oscar Piastri, Williams, Alex Albon, and an American driver, a rookie, Logan Sargeant. So that's very exciting.
I mean, his story getting into the sport is he does feel like a bit of a fast track, but we can talk about it in another episode.
Ooh, that could be an episode in itself. It could be an F. Knowles rant episode.
No. I don't. I'm excited that there's an American in the sport. I think it's a situation where there were probably some other drivers who deserved the seat before him.
So Fair enough. Who do we got at Red Bull? Because that's also a very popular team that is more recent, but they've also dominated. I would say not your favorite driver, Max Verstappen, and Mexican sensation Sergio Checo Perez. I'll let you take Merck because that is your domain here.
Well, if you don't know who the Merck lineup is, well, I don't know what to say.
Welcoming, you know, new fans into the
No. You know, I mean, listen, you know, they're popular guys. Lewis Hamilton and in George. I'm going to pose in the weirdest way for the beginning intro video during a race. Russell, George Russell.
That was a long one. Yeah. And for those of you who don't know yet, Lewis Hamilton is the most successful F1 driver in history. He's got records in most categories. He's currently tied for 7 titles with Michael Schumacher, who some people consider the greatest. We're not going to get into that now. I think they're both great drivers. We're lucky to be living in this time. But yeah, Lewis Hamilton is one of the superstars. Russell is one of the future superstars. At Alpine, we got an all-French lineup with Esteban Ocon and Pierre Gasly. Then we got Haas, that is also very popular. That is Gunther Steiner's team with K-Mag and Nico Hülkenberg.
Fuck.
Aston Martin, who was before Jordan, the team that gave Michael Schumacher its start, and now has been bought over a few times and owned by Stroll, has a lineup of Baby Stroll, Lance Stroll, and Fernando Alonso, 2-time world champion.
Baby
Stroll. Also very popular. We got Valtteri Bottas and Guan Yu Zhou at Alfa Romeo, and we have Yuki Tsunoda and Nick DeVries. Nick. I think it's Nick DeVries. Just goes,
Nicholas?
Spelled with a Y. At Alpha Tauri, which is Red Bull's sister team, also referred to as its junior team, where they kind of bring up drivers from their junior categories in the hopes that they become the next Max Verstappen. Max Verstappen was the next Sebastian Vettel, one of the most popular drivers of the 2000s, winning 4 titles with Red Bull. So there's
go ahead. Just quickly, Nick DeVries, Nick is short for Nicasius. So fun fact. God.
Sounds
I don't even know if I'm saying that right.
Sounds
Henrik Johannes Hendrik Johannes Nicasius de Vries.
He's got the most royal name I've ever heard. And
Yeah, man.
And to be very precise on this, we should have called him Sir Lewis Hamilton because he was knighted.
He was knighted
a few years ago.
He's got titles after his after his name.
So there it is for who the players are in F1 and what is Formula One. We'll be continuing this series, the Formula One Essentials series, kind of getting into what the format of F1 looks like, how many races, how drivers win the title, etc. on our next podcast. In the meantime, you can follow us on our social media at the Grandstand F1. And also, feel free to leave us a review on podcast platforms, wherever you listen to. We'd love a review. It helps us a lot.
I was just reading a quote from Gunther Steiner. I can't wait to talk about this on our next episode.
Ooh, I love the teasing. If you want to hear about Gunther, join us on the next episode.
Reviews and join us on the next episode. Those are the two homework assignments I would say from this week.